Okay, I think we're ready. It's May 12th, 2023, 1643 hours, Eastern Daylight Time, little children. I'm Ward Green, and today we have a song from 1977 from the film You Light Up My Life, song of the same name, performed in the film by the actress, although she didn't sing it, Dee Dee Caughan, and actually the soundtrack version of the song, the actual singer who sang the song was Casey Kizik or Sizik, I'm not sure how you pronounce her name. Casey Sizik was the actual singer of this song. This song, I saw this movie probably around the same time of 1977 or later, obviously. But it changed my life to see this movie because I realized that this is what I wanted to do, was to have a song and record it. And at that time, I had not done that. I saw this movie and I knew, of course, I always knew that this was my dream, was to record music, to write songs and record them. But I'd never seen a film that showed a woman or a man, a human being, who made their own dream or had their own dream and saw it through to fulfillment and had their song recorded and had their dream come true in that sense of having a song recorded. So this is it from 1977, You Light Up My Life, with Dee Dee Caughan, the actress, doing the performance here without actually singing, and Casey Sizik being the actual singer.
So thank you.
So we are all, of course, as long as we're in our physical bodies, as long as we're part of the physical world as humans, we are physical as well as spiritual. We're not just one or the other. So when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, but a physical man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, that's not his way of saying other people are physical and I'm not. He's not trying to differentiate himself in that particular statement. He's saying we're all physical. We're all physical. And we also have a spiritual aspect. And that is shown from what he said in verses 11 through 13. He says, for who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of man that is in him? He talks about the spirituality of mankind. But he also says, a physical man in verse 14 does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't say other people who are not like me are physical men. That's not what he's saying. He's admitting that he has a physical side, or even a physical personality to him, that he cannot get to know these spiritual things through his physical body. That's what he's saying. However, the spiritual man, that's the other person, the other aspect, really, we're all just, we're one person, but we can seem divided within ourselves, or we can seem conflicted within ourselves because of our fleshly desires conflicting with what we know is good or loving or, you know, right. But he says the spiritual man is not examined by any man, you see. That's interesting. The spiritual man is not examined by any man because nobody knows the mind of Jehovah, the Creator. Nobody knows the mind of God. Right? But we do have the mind of Christ. So we can still have... Yeah. I mean, it's a fascinating thing. You could say, well, the spiritual man is not examined. Of course, the physical man is examined, because is what he's saying there. But he's examining himself too. That's important to realize. He examines all of Christians as well as himself, and people who are not Christians as well. We're all physical. It's not a judgmental thing. He's not judging, because Jesus said, "Judge not, that you'll not be judged." So, Egyptian calendar holistic origin. One thing I want to point out, in today's study in the Wild Road article from chapter 8, yesterday we covered this graph. I neglected or forgot or missed the opportunity to point out this line here from top left to bottom right. It's a fairly steep line. It's the line that shows the date of Thoth 1, and it intersects with the summer solstice line, which is gradually falling in terms of the date through the centuries. The summer solstice is gradually becoming earlier in the year, but Thoth 1 is becoming very rapidly earlier in the year compared to the summer solstice. So the two lines intersect, and precisely where they intersect is, see, what is that, 27, what is that date, the intersection of the two lines. Well, that's where the Egyptian calendar begins, is the idea, right? That's how we know it only began once, is because these two lines intersect only at one point. And so the date of it was 2774. That's where they intersect, very close, exactly the same time when we also noted that there was an eclipse over the Ark site at the same time as that. We noted before all the things that coincided at that time. Also very close to the death of Shem in 2780 BCE. In 2774 BCE, at Eridu, which is the site of the Tower of Babel, Sothis rose on July 18th. this graph shows also. For today's study, we're in chapter 9, Little Children. Wild Road Ahead to History, Part 2, Chapter 9, Humanity under Mestrium and Nimrod. It spells human. We are indeed, if we are of the human race, we are human. All of us. There's no difference between us who are, between those of us who are of one skin color or another, in terms of the potential that we have, the different talents that we may be given, and nor is there any difference in our ability to procreate with people of other skin colors, or in other words, other humans. It becomes ever more clear now in chapter 9 here. Let's study chapter 9 and see what this is saying. This is much easier. We've had the most difficult chapter, I think, already in this article, in the study we did yesterday. That was the most difficult chapter, I believe. Chapter 9, it becomes ever more clear that the Bible's account of world government is very useful in tracing chronology. A global deluge was followed by the generations of population regrowth before rebel forces began to work under hero hunter Nimrod. He was a hero to some, I suppose, and not to others, to construct the tower. These rebel forces wanted to build a tower. That was the Tower of Babel. We know about that from the Bible. From these beginnings in Shinar may Egypt have arisen, although this was conspicuously absent from the Bible. Doesn't mention Egypt beginning at that time. From different versions of Manetho and others, there are two 35-year periods, although the Bible does mention Mestrium, of course. He's somebody known about from Egypt. And he was an ancestor of Nimrod. So it is about the same time from the Bible, but it doesn't specifically say. From different versions of Manetho and others, there are two 35-year periods. This is an incredible thing here, the way this tallies. 69 or 63 years that Nimrod rules. So two 35-year periods, 69 or 63 years that Nimrod rules, and 27 or 29 years for Thoth, which from 2780 BCE, the death of Shem, implies 2745 or 2711 when we subtract these numbers from 2780. 69 plus 2711 is 2780. But in brackets we put 2717 because that was the time of actually 63 years after 2780. And that was another number given for the rule of Nimrod, 63 years. Or for one of the kings given in the as one of the first kings of Egypt, right? In the first dynasty of Manetho. One of which is indicated by the book of Sothis for the dispersion in the fifth year of Phalek. That's the 2745 year. One of these years, 2745 or 2711 or 2717, is indicated by the book of Sothis, and that's for, compare with the name Peleg, as opposed to Phalek. It's the same name, but slightly different language. In the BG, the date of Peleg is 2745, his birth. And that's very exactly the same as 35 years after 2780. And the 34th year of Arphaxad, compared to Arphaxad 2746 to 2745, the Convergence, well, that might be his, it's very close to his 34th year. The convergence of these dates end Merikar's 14 years of rule. And the 43 years, the convergence of these dates end Merikar's 14 years of rule and the 43 years of building the tower in the Book of Jubilees provide impetus for a date of 2738 or 37 as the end of some time. Because 43 plus 2737 is 2780. What else have we got? 27. These dates in Merkur's 14 years of rule. I'm trying to think, where are the 14 years of rule in that? Not shown there, but we talked about it earlier. It's not very significant in this paragraph. Or year one of Thoth, that is, for 2738, because of the end of this 43 years of building the tower. The date Hathor 17, death of Osiris, is year 28. When 2745 is September 24th, new moon. And also on September 15th, in 2709, it's also Hathor 17. September 15th, 2709, but September 24th, 2745, is a new moon, and that's the one we're interested in the most. Because 2745 is the dispersion. Thus is 2745 BCE a date of strong interest. But we are also aware that 2737 BCE is year one of Yan Di in China, the emperor. The other date of interest, since historians are often wont to work backwards from known dates, being wont just means you like doing it. They are wont, they like to work backwards from known dates. The other date that historians like to use because it's they feel a known date is 2682 or 2681 BCE, the modern year one of the old kingdom of Egypt. Djoser is the pharaoh who began in that year. There are 63 years from 2682. This is remarkable. There are 63 years from 2682 back to 2745 BCE. There's the 63 again. Thus it appears that the year 2745 is significant. The Book of Thoth is giving 35 and 63 years for Mestrium and Kurodes, respectively. Who was the Bible character? Who was the Bible character? Maybe it wasn't Mestrium, but who was it? Mizraim, that's right. Mizraim, I believe. Would be in Genesis 10 or 11. Yeah, Mizraim was the father of Cush, wasn't he? Sons of, no, that, yeah, right. No, they were brothers, right. So the sons of Ham were Cush and Mizraim, and Cush was the father of Nimrod. So Mizraim was a brother of Nimrod. He could have begun ruling Egypt at the same time. But he was known from Egypt. And this Mizraim is known to be concerning Egypt. But we will look at that later probably. We better see what we can see here. Right. Abel Mizraim. Okay, that's a reference to something that doesn't explain about Mizraim being associated with Egypt, except it does say Abel Mizraim, which is talking about the mourning of the Egyptians. Yeah, so it is relating to Egypt and Mizraim in the same verse. But there's more about that. Mizraim, here he is. Mizraim, yeah. Mizraim became father to these people in verse 13. To Ludim, Animim Lehavim Naftugim Patrusim Kazluhim. But Mizraim is somewhere in here. Let's look it up. Is it with an S? With a Z. Z. Okay. Does it work? Okay. In Chronicles, yeah. Wait, it's mentioned in Chronicles again. So it doesn't really mention Egypt in the Bible specifically, which is more or less what I said already. But let's just take a look now. We're going to be going to Luke, or what's our proverb? We're going to be looking at our proverb. Here it is. Today we're going to be looking at our proverb. Today's scripture is Proverbs 14 and 6. The ridiculer has sought to find wisdom, and there is none. But to the understanding one, knowledge is an easy thing. So we don't ridicule other people. We don't say, well, those people are inferior to us. That's not something we do. We simply attempt to keep ourselves separate from people who carry on activities that are not approved of by Jehovah. But anyway, the other day of interest, since historians are often wont to work backwards, is 2682, right? And there are 63 years from 2682 working backwards to 2745, and historians like to work backwards from known dates. Thus, it appears that the year 2745 is significant. And Mestrium and Kuvodes in the Book of Sothis, 2780 minus 35 is 2745. And then that equals 63 plus 2682. So it's incredible, this date for 2745 is just phenomenal in terms of how well it explains the chronology, which we call our chronology, that is, the genealogy, with the actual division of the earth in Hales, with, quote, the actual division of the earth, unquote, in Hales, 191 years after the death of Noah. Of course, Noah lived to be 350 years after, he lived 350 years after the deluge. So 541 years after the deluge as Abel-Ferege gave it. Abel-Ferege, another chronologer. It dates to 2741 BCE in the BG. That is the division of the earth, when they divided up the land. It dates to 2741 BCE, 4 years after the dispersion. And the 59 or 60 years afterwards to 2682 or 2681, after 2741, corresponds to the 59 years of Athothis, just about exactly 60 years after 2741. Would be the end of the reign of Athothis, as given from Sincelus for the second king of Thebes. All of those things are remarkably corresponding to records that are ancient and still exist. It's really remarkable. That's the end of our study for today from Wild Road and from Luke chapter 12. In the meantime, what was happening aforetime? We have events happening in chapter 11. Oh, the scribes and the Pharisees were pressing close upon Jesus to ply him with questions about further things. In the meantime, when the crowd had gathered together in so many thousands that they were stepping upon one another, he started out by saying first to his disciples, "Watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing carefully concealed that will not be revealed, and secret that will not become known. Wherefore, What things you say in the darkness will be heard in the light, and what you whisper in private rooms will be preached from the housetops. Moreover, I say to you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after this are not able to do anything more. But I will indicate to you whom to fear. Fear him who after killing has authority to throw into Gehenna. Yes, I tell you, fear this one. 5 sparrows sell for 2 coins of small value, do they not? Yet not one of them goes forgotten before God. But even the hairs of your heads are all numbered. Have no fear. You are worth more than many sparrows. I say then to you, everyone that confesses union with me before men, the Son of Man will also confess union with him before the angels of God. But he that disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone that says a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he that blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven it. But when they bring you in before public assemblies and government officials and authorities, do not become anxious about how or what you will speak in defense or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour the things you ought to say. Then a certain one of the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. He said to him, Man, who appointed me judge or apportioner over you persons? Then he said to them, Keep your eyes open and guard against every sort of covetousness, because even when a person has an abundance, his life does not result from the things he possesses. With that he spoke an illustration to them, saying, The land of a certain rich man produced well. Consequently, he began reasoning within himself, saying, What shall I do now that I have nowhere to gather my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will tear down my storehouses and build bigger ones, and there I will gather all my grain and all my good things. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many good things laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, enjoy yourself. But God said to him, Unreasonable one, this night they are demanding your soul from you. Who then is to have the things you stored up? So it goes with the man that lays up treasure for himself, but is not rich toward God. Then he said to his disciples, On this account I say to you, quit being anxious about your souls, about as to what you will eat, or about your bodies as to what you will wear. For the soul is worth more than food, and the body than clothing. Mark well that the ravens neither sow seed nor reap, and they have neither barn nor storehouse, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more worth are you than birds? Who of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit to his lifespan? If therefore you cannot do the least thing, why be anxious about the remaining things? Mark well how the lilies grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed as one of these. If now God thus clothes the vegetation in the field that today exists and tomorrow is cast into an oven, how much rather will he clothe you, you with little faith? So quit seeking what you might eat and what you might drink, and quit being in anxious suspense, for all these are the things the nations of the world are eagerly pursuing. But your Father knows you need these things. Nevertheless, seek continually his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Have no fear, little flock, because your Father has approved of giving you the kingdom. Sell the things belonging to you and give gifts of mercy. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, a never-failing treasure in the heavens, where a thief does not get near, nor moth consumes. For where your treasure is, there your hearts will be also. Let your loins be girded, and your lamps be burning, and you yourselves be like men waiting for their master when he returns from the marriage, so that at his arriving and knocking they may at once open to him. Happy are those slaves whom the master on arriving finds watching. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself and make them recline at the table, and will come alongside and minister to them. And if he arrives in the second watch, even if in the third, and finds them thus, happy are they. But know this, that if the householder had known at what hour the thief would come, he would have kept watching, and not have let his house be broken into. You also keep ready, because at an hour that you do not think likely, the Son of Man is coming. Then Peter said, Lord, are you saying this illustration to us, or also to all? And the Lord said, who really is the faithful steward, the discreet one, whom his master will appoint over his body of attendants, to keep giving them their measure of food supplies at the proper time? Happy is that slave if his master on arriving finds him doing so. I tell you truthfully, he will appoint him over all his belongings. But if ever that slave should say in his heart, my master delays coming, and should start to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day that he is not expecting him, and in an hour that he does not know. And he will punish him with the greatest severity and assign him a part with the unfaithful ones. Then that slave that understood the will of his master, but did not get ready or do in line with his will be beaten with many strokes. But the one that did not understand, and so did things deserving of strokes, will be beaten with few. Indeed, everyone to whom much was given, much will be demanded of him. And the one whom people put in charge of much, they will demand more than usual of him. I came to start a fire on the earth. And what more is there for me to wish, if it has already been lighted? Indeed, I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and how I am being distressed until it is finished. Do you imagine I came to give peace on the earth? No, indeed, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on there will be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against her mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Then he went on to say also to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in western parts, at once you say, a storm is coming. And it turns out so. And when you see that a south wind is blowing, you say, there will be a heat wave. And it occurs. Hypocrites! You know how to examine the outward appearance of earth and sky, but how is it you do not know how to examine this particular time? Why do you not judge also for yourselves what is righteous? For example, when you are going with your adversary at law to a ruler, get to work while on the way to rid yourself of the dispute with him, that he may never hail you before the judge, and the judge deliver you to the court officer, and the court officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will certainly not get out from there until you pay over the last small coin of very little value. That was Luke chapter 12. And we see the wisdom in the teaching of Jesus. Of course, we know the saying, many of us. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. And so Jesus mentions this in the western parts, a cloud is rising. And it turns out that a storm arrives. A south wind is blowing, you see, there will be a heat wave. So this is a little bit different, but there is, I'm recalling another, I'm gonna cough here. I have to cough, I think, but I'm going to try to avoid it if I can. There's another part where Jesus talks about the red sky, and this is not that particular part. This is, if a cloud is rising in the western parts, you say a storm is coming. Whereas a red sky at night would be possibly with a cloud. causing the sky to become red because the sun is setting and it's red and it spreads because of the cloud, right? But that would be red sky at night is the opposite, though, according to what we have heard, that red sky at night, sailor's delight. So that's not talking about that particular saying. This is a saying I'm not familiar with, and I've read it before. Just haven't had time to consider all of the parts of Scripture. There's so many of them. When you see the south wind is blowing, you say there will be a heat wave. Well, that's fairly obvious. The warmer winds come from the south, especially in the wintertime. North wind is very cold in the winter. But the cloud rising in western parts, you say a storm is coming? Oh, of course. Of course, yes, because the wind is prevailing from the west. We know that. And that's partly because the sun rises in the east means... That doesn't explain it, does it? No, it doesn't. Sun rising in the east is because the earth rotates toward the east. And that would cause the wind to blow toward the west, but we don't see that on the earth. We know that the prevailing winds are usually, at least in the part of the world where I live, the prevailing winds are from the west. So if you see a cloud in the west, you know the cloud's coming toward you because the prevailing winds are from the west. So that's very logical too. So that's another thing. We don't want to ever abandon logic, even though we're spiritual people. Jesus is the Logos, right? And the Logos is logic. And logic is something that we use, even though we're physical people, we use logic. It's not only strictly spiritual because we use our physical bodies to our brains to actually do the computations that and the thinking that is required by being reasonable and being logical is the most important part of being reasonable, because it's got to do with the word, the logic, the logos that comes from Christ. Christ is the logos. So that's it for today's study. And this is, look at that. One of my watches has the day and the date. It is May the 12th, 2023. It's 17:21 hours. I can't wear one of my watches because I have a temporary an itchy rash on my right wrist. But I love you very much. Little children, have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening and watching. And may Jehovah bless you. And may we all praise Jehovah for his good things that he does and the things that he gives us. So for Ward Green, it's Moppy and Crow saying bye for now.